Talk sports with Craig Carton and Chris McMonagle on The Carton Show. Afternoons from 2 to 7 on WFAN. WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Danielle McCartney.
That's Saturday afternoon here, New York sports fans. I am Danielle McCartan, and I'll be talking all things New York sports with you right up till 5:30 p.m., a.k.a. the Yankees pregame here right in New York City and beyond. So thanks for tuning in. You've got Paulie Rosenberg and I live right here in Lower Manhattan on a beautiful 62-degree Saturday afternoon. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to get aboard. Call me up. Be part of the conversation. Let me know what you're up to on this Saturday afternoon. And I'm excited for today because hot off the press, I finished my 14-page NFL draft guide just last night. I've been working on it so hard all week, not going to lunch with the other teachers, staying in my own room, getting it done, eating my lunch in my room. And you're going to get access to that. And it's for the Jets and for the Giants, of course, and all of the top prospects in this draft. And we'll talk about how Luis Gil completely flunked his first and only appearance so far this season. We'll talk about Trent Grisham and Randall Grichuk and how it has to be Jason Dominguez time. But I wanted to settle in right here a little bit. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the New York Mets. And, I mean, because, first of all, you might be on your way to Citi Field. And if you are, give me a shout. By the way, a quick little sidebar here. My dad is very into this. Has anybody taken the bus that's going to take you from, he wants to do it from Paramus Park, the Mets shuttle? He wants to do it. So if you've taken it, call me up and let us know how it is. Because I'm looking at this, and last night I'm finishing up my notes, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and I have the TV on, and what's it called? Optimum doesn't have the split screen anymore, which is quite a problem for me, actually. And I'm looking at it, going, well, first I'm trying to watch the Mets and the Yankees and do my notes all at once, and I just wanted to settle in here at the top of the show with the question. And maybe we can weave this throughout the show. But the question is, what is wrong with the New York Mets? What is wrong with the New York Mets? Because I'm seeing a lot. I'm not impressed by their start. I think it's more than just, you know, surface deep. And I've got questions. And ultimately, the main principal question is, what is wrong with the New York Mets? Not positive, not negative, not shtick. There is something wrong with this team. And what is it? For me, it's threefold. A, B, and C. A, there is something wrong with the coaching staff of this team. B, there is something wrong with the general manager's construction of this team. And C, there is something wrong on a player execution level of this team. All three of those things can and are true for this Mets team in the early goings. And I don't want to get any phone calls. Danielle, it's only 2 weeks into the season. Like, I get it. I get it. I understand. But you can't be happy with what you're watching. There's just no way. You cannot be happy when you turn on the game and you see what's going on and you say to yourself, wow, what a great effort by that Mets team. Because that's what the manager is saying. The manager is basically saying, well, you know, shucks, we'll get them tomorrow. That's not what I see. So, A, how do you, going back to A, the coaching staff, the manager, how do you, A, eradicate and replace your entire coaching staff and your team still can't play the game? Your team has not scored a single run over the last 17 innings. Maybe, just maybe, the problem is you And the nonchalance from Carlos Mendoza after last night's disaster, the oh shucks, let's get him next time kind of attitude, it's just, it doesn't go over well when your team is playing as it is. I mean, he says they have to be consistent. He said they were consistent. Well, yeah, they're consistently bad, and that's not what you want. And he said, the hitters are going through it. I mean, let me just close my eyes and listen to that clip and say, okay, is this 2025 or is this 2026? And your hitters are still going through it? It's April 11th, man. And my question is, where is the urgency? He told all Mets fans, he said, this is not urgent. Oh, yeah? Well, I think it is. And where is the urgency from this manager? Why is it always we'll get him tomorrow type message and feel every time he opens his mouth? I'm sorry, but this Mets team is an unlikable team with no personality. And it most certainly stems from the manager and from the general manager. Can them both. Like, get somebody in that dugout that can fire up these players to teach them the fundamentals of the game that have been lacking. Almost, there's been a fundamental mistake almost every game so far this season. And you got to get someone in that dugout that's going to get them all pulling in the same direction. And that is the only way. Who is that? The Mets need another Terry Collins in there. Because it's not Carlos Mendoza. And that mentality, it's just not working for this team. You know, sometimes as a coach, you pull strings and you're like, all right, this is going to work. That will get them motivated. That I just watched the documentary on on Netflix, the 80, the Miracle on Ice. That coach knew exactly how to motivate each and every one of his individual players. I don't see it happening with Carlos Mendoza. Oh, shucks, we'll get him tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera. It's just not working, and it looks terrible, sounds terrible, and it is terrible. Now, B, let me go to Jeff McNeil, who got a deserved, rousing standing ovation last night at Citi Field to underscore my second point, and that being there's something wrong with the general manager's construction of this team. He was asked, Jeff McNeil was asked, in the visiting dugout last night about the Mets general manager's breaking up of the core after missing the postseason last season in 2025. Roll it, Paul.
Felt like, you know, we had a pretty good team. You know, we were one game away from, you know, being in the postseason last year, and that was tough. But it's business, and Dave is over there, you know, trying to put the best team on the field as possible, and you know that's what he's seen fit.
Say what you want about what he said, but the facts are the facts. And now here are some other facts. Pete Alonso, to whom the Mets general manager didn't even extend an official offer, is out hitting Polanco, and certainly showing up more frequently to play than Polanco is. Alonso's been on the field so far this season for 5 times the amount of innings that Polanco has for the Mets. Defense first, huh? You want to talk about defense first? Well, Jeff McNeil, the aforementioned Jeff McNeil, who the Mets general manager dumped after telling him he's going to be a part of the team this season, and Marcus Semien are equal in the field. Equal. But I'd argue that McNeil is more valuable because not only does he play different positions, he's actually good at them. And McNeil is hitting 100 points higher than Marcus Semien. 100 points higher. And of course, my favorite Met, one of my favorite Mets of all time, Brandon Nimmo, who's the general manager. The general manager forced Nimmo and strong-armed him into waiving his no-trade clause. Well, don't look now. Cover your ears. He is out-hitting Carson Bench by 208 points. That's not close. What would the Mets do right now for a guy hitting 333 like Brandon Nimmo is? Oh, and the story with Bench. No doubt he is a send-down candidate. Hitting 125 on the season, 087 over his last seven. He is not ready. Stearns was asked about that last night. He said he's going to stay right where he is, basically. And he has to say that because there isn't another right fielder. It is his fault. So now David Stearns, the general manager, is going to run that poor guy out there every day without a chance, lost in the sauce, potentially damaging his confidence in himself if he hasn't gotten there to that point already, just because the general manager failed to find an adequate right fielder this winter and even into the spring, just in case. Bench had a hot spring. We all saw it. But there is no backup plan. There is no just in case as currently constructed. And while we're at it, can we underscore yet again, the fact that David Stearns' Mets don't have an actual third baseman, an actual first baseman, corner, infielders? Like what? The plan, if he ever actually had one, completely and utterly blew up in David Stearns' face. Oh, wait. Yeah, wasn't this winter's plan run prevention? Oh, yes. Let's address that now. And let me ask you first. The initial question is, again, are you happy with what you are seeing from the Mets in general? But more specifically, defensively from this Mets team so far? Because I am not, and here is David Stearns.
I think around the diamond, we've been a pretty good defensive team. And really, that includes the players who are playing slightly different positions or the players who are asking to play multiple positions. Had a couple tough plays that we didn't make last night, but we're not going to be perfect, and those were pretty tough plays. But overall, I'm pleased with how we've played defensively.
Really? Can't you just hear the smirk in his voice? He's pleased. Are you pleased? Are you pleased? Call me up, 888-808-1019. I am not pleased. Look, and I know you're going to give me Danielle, the Mets are a top five team in defensive run save. Okay, well, then maybe they are, but I trust my eyes. Let's go around the diamond, to use the words of the Mets general manager. Let's go around. Let's start in center field. Luis Robert Jr., who, by the way, if you've been tuned in, I think that was a sneaky good signing by David Stearns. But he misjudged a ball. Then he overthrew a cutoff man, which later led to a two-run double, and the Mets lost the game 3-0 in that instance. This does not show up in the stat sheet or in the box score. The shortstop, Francisco Lindor. Unforgivable mental mistake after mental mistake. The worst kinds of mistakes. Not knowing how many outs there were. Trying to turn a double play flat-footed. This does not show up on the stat sheet or in the box score. Pick your throwing mistake by Bichette. Pirates game. Liberal official scores. These sometimes do not show up in a stat sheet or in the box score. Right field. Let's go to right field. Where have we hit? Center field, shortstop, third base. Let's pick on right field now. Thursday night, Brett Beatty, who was scared of crashing into the wall, could not make a catch that had a 45% catch probability. And that's not his fault, right? He's not a right fielder. That's the general manager's fault for putting him out there to play right field. I get it. But when you're out there, you got to make the plays. He was afraid of the wall. Go back and watch it. He was afraid of the wall. The catch did not happen. And this does not show up in neither the stat sheet nor the box score. Oh, let's go around the diamond. Let's go around the diamond, David Stearns. To first base we go. Mark Vientos could not make an adequate enough throw to home to even challenge the runner who, of course, scored. This does not show up on the stat sheet nor in the box score. I mean, this is just around the diamond, top of mind type stuff. Stuff that shouldn't be happening on a team whose GM took a grenade to the core and preached run prevention this offseason. This, my friend David Stearns, this does not look like it to me. No way am I pleased with what I am watching on the field for your team. But think about it, though. If David Stern says otherwise, if he answers that question the way it actually should have been answered, he would be admitting his own failure early on. It would be admitting that his plan didn't, or I guess hasn't yet, paid off. He'll never admit to that, of course. Of course he's going to say he's pleased with it, or else he'd be throwing himself under the bus. Self-preservation. We have reached that point in the season already. Oh, and before I forget, C, what is wrong with the Mets? A, was the coaching staff of this team and the manager. B, was the general manager's construction of this team. And C, there is something wrong on a player execution level of this Mets team. The final piece to what is wrong with the Mets? That puzzle. The final piece, Francisco Lindor. I mean, while I was eating my Cheerios with a banana this morning, cut up inside the bowl, nice, I was looking at his face on the back of the milk carton as I'm sitting there eating this morning. And we all know that Francisco Lindor is a slow starter. I have calmed Mets fans down over the years right here on these airwaves about his slow starts. But this year is different. Number one, for two reasons. And number one is Lindor's mental breakdowns are blowing up this team in the early goings. I mean, how do you get thrown out at third base last night? The manager called it the right play. Sorry, but anytime anyone gets thrown out at third base, especially in a close game, it's not the right play. Sorry. You forget how many outs there are. You get picked off while fixing your batting gloves. And last night, too, failing to turn a double play because you're flat-footed? You don't say. And then Lindor, after the game, he admitted fault for, he said, not stepping into the throw. Does that placate you? Because it doesn't placate me. And number two, the problem is with Francisco Lindor. Well, he's making $34.1 million against the luxury tax. And he literally isn't even hitting his weight. Why? Why, oh why, has Francisco Lindor been the Mets leadoff batter in every single game so far this season? Why, oh, why hasn't the manager moved him out of that spot? He clearly can't handle it. He's clearly overmatched. He is clearly an automatic out. One of many on that team, by the way. Lindor is hitting 164 with 11 strikeouts. Zero home runs. Zero RBI. Just one extra base hit on the season. Carlos Mendoza, pal, are you in there? Wake up and put someone more productive in that spot. The whole thing, this whole operation is just flat out inexcusable. And then you underscore all of this with the fact that the Mets, look in the NL, scroll down to 10th. They are the 10th best team in the NL. There's only five teams worse than they are. And they've got the second highest payroll in all of Major League Baseball. Is a 7-7 record what you're expecting from a $377 million payroll? Absolutely not. But go off, David Stearns. Tell the Mets fans how happy you are, how pleased you are with this team that you put together this year. And don't put me in that category.